Welcome to the Kevin and Philip Project, a podcast with two guys who love to eat, travel, talk sports, and have no idea how to raise teenage girls. Coming to you live from Salina, Kansas. Here are your hosts, Kevin and Philip.
Welcome to Season 5, Episode 13 of the Kevin and Philip Project. As promised last week, we have some special guests with us tonight. Really excited about this one. He goes by Coach O, is my understanding. Coach of the Salina Liberty is going to be joining us here. We, as you guys have heard, we've talked a lot about the Liberty over the past few weeks, and we got some big changes coming up with the team here in Salina. And we had Sam on, the new general manager, a few weeks ago, talked a little bit, kind of introduced us to this level of arena football. But we'll get Coach O on here in just a second. Philip, sounds like there's one matter you have that's really pressing.
You know, and I want Coach O to say hello to everybody.
Hello, everybody here in Salina, back home in Billings and Chicago.
And Oklahoma. We had a lot of listeners in Oklahoma. All of Phillip's kin, as he would say.
Boomer.
That's what's up.
No, today in town, and I want to get you guys' opinion on this, so we can just go right out there and throw opinions out immediately. I think their Kate went out to all the students in one of our local schools around here, out in the country, Solomon schools, that they were taking the phones out of the classrooms.
Love
no
it.
Phones, no earbuds. You can keep them in your locker during the day, probably check them on your break. But they said it was I can't go word for word because I'm not a person that got the email, but no phones in the classroom, which is your opinion, Coach O. What do you think?
I love it.
Yes.
I think it's a distraction. It's very addictive. And if you're paying attention to the phone, you're not paying attention to what the teacher is saying and the interaction with the students and everybody else. I think it hinders learning. I think that's a great move. I wish they would do that nationwide.
Couldn't agree more.
I said I wish it I had a friend who was putting it on Facebook, and I put it on there, I wish it was a statewide mandate. And not only does it hurt the education side of things, I also think it's where it starts with this stuff that we talk about sometimes, just the overall bullying, they spend more time teasing each other on the phone than they do listening in the classroom. And so I was very happy to see and hear about that. One other thing before Coach O.
Unfortunately, we are back to agreeing now.
Okay.
I mean, before with the cozy in thing, we finally disagreed on something.
Well, you'll agree with this too. The Royals just swept the Astros. Isn't that wonderful?
Let's spend 30 seconds on this.
Hey, 7-game winning streak, can you believe? Yeah.
So last year it took them 31 games to hit 8 wins.
This year
it took 12.
Coach O, you have a baseball team? Year.
Well, I'm the Chicago White Sox.
Didn't say that.
That's my team. I'm from the south side of Chicago.
It's going to be a rough year for that one.
So we haven't been good in many years, Bears and all that as well. So, but I am – my father played in the Negro Leagues. He – can't stand the White Sox. He's a Yankee fan.
Oh,
all right. We got here. We got something else.
My brother's a Yankee fan.
He didn't
fan.
Say he's a Yankee fan.
No, I'm a White Sox White fan. Sox. I'm a loyal Chicago fan with that. But my brother and my father loved the Yankees ever since, you know, Jeter. But my father been loving them ever since he was growing up.
Yep.
You know, they have the best players to ever play. They've won the most pennants and World Series and things of that nature.
Just hard. And look at me. How I keep myself, if I let myself go, I could have this long, flowing, beautiful hair. And I keep myself nice and trimmed up, just like a Yankee.
That's the Yankee
just
way.
Just like a New York
that
Yankee.
That is the Yankee way.
That's right.
So yeah.
we're happy about
yeah.
But I'm happy. Boy, I'm happy for the Royals, though. I want them to be good, even though I'm not the hugest Royals fan, but I'm happy for everyone here loves
when we talked about it a week ago. I said that I thought 500 this year was in the cards. It was a possibility. Pitching's got to hang on, but I mean, scored 20 some runs in the last two games. Offense isn't a problem.
9 runs in the first inning.
Yeah, today.
And Witt hits another home run, and I tell you that Witt, and then you see Arnold, the kid from Baltimore.
Yeah, Jackson Holiday got called up.
Today
we
was
just
his
talking
first day
about
ever.
Him too
we
last
just
week.
Talked about last week yep. him being in AAA. So
yep.
it's exciting young players in the Major League Baseball.
When you score in runs like that, you're not going to lose
no,
too many
right,
games.
No,
I'm
right.
just saying.
Correct. Yeah, if we can average 10 runs a game, we're going to be pretty good. So.
Do you know what? We might chase. We always do. We'll chase a few rabbits as we go. But we're
yeah.
here.
Squirrel.
We're here to hear from Coach O'Neill.
We are. Let's talk football.
I've never, unfortunately, he's been here since 18, I believe. Is that right, Coach?
That is correct.
Unfortunately, I've never met you. I've stood on your sidelines multiple times, but I've never met you. So and probably a few other people haven't met you around town, and we'd like to just introduce you.
Absolutely.
Get to learn yep. a little bit about you.
Yeah, give us a little history.
Give us a little history of where you started, where you came from. You already told us you're the south side of Chicago, but from there, let's just go a little bit, and we'll jump in.
I'll go all the way back there, and I would say that it all started off at the Cal Park Rams. 7-year-old, my dad put me into football. My mom, that was one of the most heated arguments I've ever seen. And my father's from Cabrini Green, Chicago, so it's pretty tough that way. And he was like, my boy is going to grow up to be a man's man, and this is what he's going to do. And I started there, played 4 years there with the Cal Park Rams, and then I got a scholarship to go to Chicago Mount Carmel High School. I won 3 state titles out of 4. Like I was telling you, Donovan McNabb was my quarterback. Simeon Rice, top 10 in NFL history.
Wow.
Sacks was my
D. I didn't know that. Okay.
And then Matt Cushion made it to the NFL. I made it to the NFL. We had a couple others that made it to the NFL off that team. We were ranked in the USA Today and things of that nature as well. From there,
so a pretty good football team is what he's saying.
Yeah, I mean, to the point where we lost, what was it? I think I lost 3 high school games in 4 years there. So we were really, really good, and
3 state championships.
Yes, and we had one of the greatest coaches, Frank Lenti, little short Italian cat, but he knew his football, and he didn't play any games. We were the most disciplined team. We were the most fundamental sound team, and we were the most prepared team. We were not always the most talented team, though. And I know you hear some of those names, but the rest of the guys wasn't
yeah.
as talented as the guys
we had. He said it was a Catholic school,
yes,
so you had
Catholic
to get in to get in.
Catholic school that you had to take the test, and, you know, they had to invite you there. And if you couldn't get it academically, you would not be able to be asked to go to Chicago Mount Carmel.
Okay.
That was on the south side of Chicago as well. All-boy high school, which was something I really didn't like in the beginning, but I understand it after I left that you're not going to be focused on girls and things of
yeah.
that nature. You're going to be focused on your football. You're going to be focused on your books. From there, I got a scholarship to Western Michigan University. I was redshirted my freshman year, and then I was a 3.5-year starter there. Finished, I think, 2nd in school history in PBUs, and I think top 10 in interceptions. From there, I played.
I was going to ask what position, but that just told
DB.
Me.
Yeah. Yeah, DB. Yeah.
You're sort of a big DB.
Yeah, I was one of those ones. Bobby Taylor was one of those guys that with the Philadelphia Eagles that was out there. That was the year Charles Woodson, when we came out, Charles Woodson won the Heisman. So
yep.
I truly think that they were there because that's in Ann Arbor. That's only 1 hour away from Western.
Right.
I always say he helped me get to the NFL for my little cup of coffee that I had. I was with the Jacksonville Jaguars on the practice squad most of that year, and then got allocated to NFL Europe, the Berlin Thunder in Germany. Did that. Then I came back and played for the Chicago Bears for a year, and then from there played arena football for 4 years. After the arena, the last game that I was played, I tore my shoulder up. 3 shoulder surgeries in 1.5 years, and it ended my career.
That'll
do. I think I was 26, 27 years old. I went back to school to get my degree. I only had 1 class to take, a Bachelor of Science with emphasis in cardiac rehab and a minor in sociology. Once I got that was in December. January, I was offered a job in a spot that I've never heard of in my life, and I thought it was a bad joke by my agent. It was in Casper, Wyoming, and being a black man and from Chicago, when you say Casper, Wyoming,
yeah.
those things don't really correlate and go together. So was very skeptical of it. The pay wasn't great. It was pretty much the same pay as what the players were getting, which wasn't much at that time. But I looked at it as an opportunity. I thought God was pressing me to do that. I'm a faith in what God has lead me.
Yep.
The different signs and things that he tells me, he never steers me wrong. And it was a chance that I took that was making minimal, but now I can actually support my family.
So were you married at that time?
No, I was engaged, but that didn't work out because
but
of
you were able football. To you were able to go without having somebody to support at the time.
Yes, yeah. Yes. And at the time I did have, you know, my son. I did have my son. He was 5 years old at that time. So that didn't work out. That marriage didn't work out. So went on and kept coaching, doing my thing. So my second year, I got to be a head coach. And we went 16-1, won a national title, my first of four national titles.
Now, what is this league that you're talking about, this league?
The NIFL, the National Indoor Football League. It was a team – it was 24-team league. It went all the way from Fayetteville to Texas to Cali, all the way up to Washington, in the Midwest, Sioux City, all of these places. But that was my first year. I was a young man. I was the youngest coach to ever win. I think I was 29 years old. Then that next year was rough because all the players left for the money to go to these other teams to be the superstar. We started off rough, and I think we were 500 that year. We made the playoffs, got knocked out in the second round. Same thing kind of happened that third year. But the first year of the IFL, 2009, we went 15-2, won my second national title in the IFL, Indoor Football League, mm-hmm. that's still in existence now. That was a 26-team league, similar to what we're in now, like a national stage
yep.
and all the teams from everywhere. You get an NFL cut guys, so it's very similar to what we did now. I won that championship and then came back the very next year in 2010 and won 15-2 again, won another national championship, the first two in IFL history again, the youngest coach to ever win a national championship in that league. Then I went to Colorado for 6 years. We made the playoffs all but, I think, 1 year there.
What city were you in there?
Fort Collins, Colorado.
Okay. Yep, yep.
So I was with them. I was the general manager and head coach there the last 2 years. So definitely enjoyed my time there. That's where my daughter was born. Me and my wife, but she wasn't my wife at the time, my girlfriend, we moved there. So that was a big step for us in our relationship. Nisha is my wife, and she took that blind step with me to go to Colorado. She's from Billings, Montana. I met her in Billings, Montana, and I didn't think she was going to go with me anyway, but she did, and it matured to, you know, me being married now for 4 or 5 years, but we've been together for like 17 years. So from there, was coaching a year in 2014, 2015, 16, decent years. Left there, went to Dodge in 2017 as just defensive coordinator. Yeah, it was the smell of money. Yeah. I learned very clear what that was.
Is what I heard.
Yeah, it was definitely different. And that's where one of our guests is coming on later, Kelvin McCoy. That was his rookie year that I brought him down there with me. So he's been with me since that point.
That was one of the questions I was going to ask him about because I noticed he's been with you since day one there. So.
And that's why you call him like the coach. He knows everything. He knows exactly the way I want it, how I want it, and it's no question he knows how to prepare it and get that done for me.
And he can transfer that to the other players
absolutely.
As you're going. Yeah,
because a lot of people don't really understand me because I'm very, very, very direct. And I guess in this world, I guess it's not – cool to be very direct,
right?
If you know where I'm getting
hurt
with
some people's feelings.
Yeah, you might hurt somebody's feelings,
right? So, but that's the way my
parents
raised
me. So he lets the guys know
he's the translator.
He's trying to get you better.
Yes, and that's all it is. It's like I told my team today: if I'm yelling and screaming and cussing and doing all that, it's all out of love because I want you to be the best version of yourself that you can be. Yep. And that's what I feel. That's what I got in it for: is to help these young men understand that. You may look at yourself in the mirror as this, but somebody outside of that is looking at you in a whole bigger and brighter spectrum that if you actually sit and listen to what I'm telling you, it's to better you. Like we always say, if I'm when I'm on the film and I'm talking about this, that, and another, I'm only critiquing what you put forth on the film. It's not that I have anything personal against you because I don't even know you guys like that. So kind of the coaching philosophy of doing that and things of that nature. But then I came here. We went to the Northern Conference Championship in 18, and then we've been in the four last national championships. I won another national title in 2022.
Yep.
So, and then I was inducted into the IFL Hall of Fame in 2021. which is one of my favorite rings. I got five. Well, I got six rings, eight rings. But far as pro, I only have five.
He's almost Tom Brady.
But the Hall of Fame ring is a cool ring.
Oh, because that shows that you were something.
Right.
If they write you down in that, you're going to be in that history of that league forever. And, you know, winning championships is cool, and I'd never be in the Hall of Fame without, you know, winning championships and having great football players to go out there on the field to win. Because, like what Bill Parcells always say, it's not about the X's and O's, it's about the Jimmys and the Joes.
Yep.
I can run the same scheme with bums, and it's not going to look as good as with good football players. Yeah. So that and great ownership group has gotten me to where I'm at today, and
so
I'm loving every second of it.
So 2022, we win the championship. I met you last week at Bowl for Kids' Sake, and the trophy was sitting there. Honestly, did you have a drink out of that trophy?
Absolutely.
Attaboy. Okay.
And there's some videos floating around about that. I'm the one that was a clown. I was feeling pretty good. I put in there probably about $40 to $50 worth of Long Island iced teas. So we were just walking around there, and we were crushing them.
Wow.
And we were popping champagne. And
good.
It was a very, very good time. We were all at the Blind Pig, which is our after-game sponsor.
Right.
Denise said, go ahead, hey, tear it up, have a good time. And they blocked off all the parking lot because it was just standing room only there.
Nice.
I celebrated like it was – the last day on earth.
It might have been. That's cool. No, I saw that in a few years ago. My daughter, she plays softball, and I coach her, and we won a state championship, and it wasn't as big, but it was similar shape as that trophy. And
absolutely.
We had a little end of the year party, and they dared me to, so I had to chug a beer out of that trophy.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, that's a thing. You got to do it, right? So
absolutely.
So let's talk some football.
Well, I want to ask him one thing before you get into football. I just love your voice. Sounds great. But I know one other man from the south side of Chicago that I listen to all the time.
Oh,
kind
boy.
Of a motivational speaker type dude. I want to know if you heard of him. Walter Bond.
I have not.
Never have. Oh, man. I was hoping you knew.
I have no idea who you're talking about
either. He's a speaker that travels around. He played in the NBA for a little while for the Dallas Mavericks. But he's from the same place you're from, and you guys sound a lot alike.
He could be a brother from another mother.
Yeah,
you never
know.
You
have to look him up. Walter Bond. Okay. Anyway, now getting to football, Kevin's got a football question.
Well, yeah. So when we talked to Sam a few weeks ago, we talked more about the business side of the game. Obviously, having you on here, Coach, I want to talk a little bit more about the actual game itself, strategy, some of those kind of things, because it's obviously quite a bit different than regular football, and you have a lot of history behind this. So what would you say is probably, from a coaching standpoint, the most difficult thing? Obviously, a lot of the guys, when they come to you, if they're coming out of college or maybe had a stint in the NFL or whatever it may be, or used to 11-man, you know, what we know as American football.
Right.
What do you think's the biggest difference that they have to adapt to going from the regular game to the arena game?
Well, I would put it two ways. The field dimensions, with it only being 50 yards long and I think 27 yards wide, so that's one, and as well as the motion. It's very similar to the CFL when they can put, I think, three or four guys in motion. But in this one, now we're in the Arena Football League, only one guy's in motion. I would say those are the two biggest things to it's hard for them to get at first. And it takes reps to know what steps to take, your angles, knowing when to trigger, when to do different things. DB is very hard in this league. I'm a DB, so when they have a guy and I'm telling them to sit at 7 yards as this guy backs up 10 and runs a 4-3 at you, and I'm saying, don't move until he hits that line of scrimmage, your shorts get a little hot. Might get wet back there. So you got to definitely understand it's not for the faint at heart if you play DB. It's definitely difficult and hard to translate because there's nothing that's out there that's like that. But offensive line is offensive line. D-line is D-line. Linebacker is linebacker. Running back is running back. Quarterback is a little different because everything is so much quicker, not faster, quicker.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why when you do that type stuff, it helps you in the outdoor game. If you can pick it up and read quick, that's why Kurt Warner did as well as he did after he played for the Barnstormers, is understanding reads, anticipate things, and being able to process things at a rapid pace is what the NFL is looking for. And I mean, that's why, you know, I think I'm up there in this ranking as well. 64 players that's played in my program has moved on to play signed contracts in the NFL, CFL, XFL, USFL. So I'm not only trying to win championships for the great people here of Salina, right, and for myself and for everybody, I'm also trying to move players up.
Right.
I have a Rolodex of probably about 38 to 39 agents, NFL, CFL certified agents, where that's where I get my football players from. Mm-hmm. They're not going to send them to me if we can't get them the looks that they're looking for. And all I always say is your film is going to be indicative if you move up or not. Nothing that I'm going to say is going to get you there. It's if they get the interest and then they call me. If you're doing what I'm asking you to do on and off the field, you don't cause me any trouble, you're a great locker room guy, then I'll put my word on that. Right. But other than that,
the film's what's going to catch them. Exactly. And catch their eye and get them interested.
Yes. And if you don't have impressive film, then you got to try again next year, or, you know, try with another team, another coach, or anything like that. But I'm a big believer in moving guys up. The last one that moved up to, 2022, he moved up, right? No, 2023, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
last year. He moved up 2 years. He played in like a couple games, and then he moved up and became the starting quarterback of the Ottawa Red Blacks before he blew his knee out. So that's the last of the one. He's number 64. But like I said, we move guys to the NFL, CFL, XFL. And the thing that I'm trying to tap into, and I've been somewhat successful, that I'm kind of need you guys' help on it, because you are Mr. Salina. This is a Salina deal. I know it's players here in Salina that can play as well.
Yep.
That did go in the Salina area. I'm not just saying Salina. That played at K-State. They played at CU and all the different colleges, but are, you know, locally here within, you know, a two-hour radius. Those are the players that we're trying to get that hometown feel and things of that nature.
Yeah.
That I haven't been as successful getting. You know, deal with a lot with Jake Sharp. There was a kid there we were looking at today. 6'7", 285-pound defensive end, played at South Dakota. This guy was a monster. I mean, just pulling weight around, doing his thing. And he's NFL draft eligible, so we introduced ourselves and things of that nature. So that's what we're trying to do, is get more local kids to be a part of it. We do have one Kansas Wesleyan kid that's on the team. He's also from Chicago. No, I didn't know that when I recruited him, so it's not just a Chicago thing. But Aaron Jenkins played receiver here for the Kansas Wesleyan team and was a pretty good football player. So definitely
career, didn't he, at Kansas Wesleyan?
Yeah.
The Jenkins.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes.
He had some pretty good quarterbacks throwing, too.
Yeah, that helps. Definitely true.
So another question I have, and we hit on this a little bit. You were talking about being pretty direct, but you know, I'm curious. What do you think? And we're going to ask your players this too. But how do you think your players would describe you as a coach?
Well, right now in training camp, those that don't know me would probably call me something I can't say on the air. But
oh, it's fine. We'll check the box that says explicit.
But the players that have played for me before that are, you know, like Debo, when he comes on, mm-hmm. Yes, I am very direct, and I expect perfection because that's the type of work I'm putting in. I put in work. I'm up at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm working. I'm recruiting. I'm watching film. I'm putting game plans together. I'm strategizing, and I expect the same from my players. We're not up here away from our family just to be hanging out and playing around. And, you know, yes, Salina's a great city, but I don't think it's a destination of people if you compare it to Miami, L.A., Chicago,
yep,
Dallas, and things of that nature. So right, while we're here, let's be great citizens, one. Let's not get in trouble, two. And let's get something out of this. And the only way I know how to get things out of it is hardware. I want to be a contender every year. That's the only thing I ever say. I want to be one of the top four teams in the league every year. You can't win a championship every year. You can't play in a championship game every year. Now, I know the people of Salina, that's what they come to expect. And, you know, four out of the 5 years I've been here, we've been in a national championship game.
Yep.
But to be a contender is all I ever shoot for. I never say we're going to be a champion. That's the goal, absolutely.
Right.
I'm never in it to not win
right,
it. But to just be a coach that's going to push them to that level that they didn't even know they can get to is mm-hmm. what I think I hope that they would say. And a coach that actually cares about them personally. Not as much right now because I don't want that to be the decision of who we cut and who
right.
we keep. Once we do the cuts here, the major cut is coming Saturday after our scrimmage. After that cut right there, we'll have at least three more cuts to do. And once that's done, then I'll go to the team hotel. Then I'll go and throw barbecues. Then I'll say, come on out
right.
to the bowling alley. Come here. Let's play PlayStation together. Let's play spades together. That's how I get to know my player, and I know how yep. to coach you if I see you in your environment. They always say that, what's your secret sauce? That's my secret sauce. I get to know my player. Like I said, a sociology minor. Once I can put you in these different boxes, I know how I can coach you.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's some you can cuss at. Some, if you cuss at them, they melt like the Wicked Witch of the West. Or, you know, you got to know how to press the
He's
person
learning
button.
His kids' yeah. terminology. That's yeah. the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah. So you got to be able to do those type things to get to know your players. So hopefully they'll call me a player's coach. That was a long to get to that.
So coach for 4 months, 3 months, probably 4 months. You're living in a hotel in Salina, right?
Yes. My players live in a hotel. I yeah. live in a hotel.
Everybody for
My
4 months?
Coaches live in a hotel.
So this is your tough months of the year?
Well, it's not tough because this is what I love.
But you're up at four.
Yes.
So you're working hard all day.
Yeah, but to me, that's fun.
Yeah.
To the average Joe, they'll be like, come on, that cannot be fun. To me, it's fun.
But for 4 months, you're not eating home-cooked meals, anything
else.
Oh,
no, that's what I miss.
Yeah.
I definitely miss that. But we do have a lady by Miss Amanda. During training camp for those 3 weeks, she feeds us dinner. And then now she's even getting to the point of feeding us breakfast as well. So I do get home-cooked meals for those first 3 to 4 weeks. And then after that, it's fast food heaven, and that's probably why my cholesterol is what it is yeah. and high blood pressure and all that good stuff.
We got some questions about that towards the end of the podcast when we have a little more fun. So I got some questions around that. So you want to go with one?
I'll start with the questions?
Yeah, what do you got? I got some.
Go ahead and kick one off then. I don't have my glasses on.
Uh-oh.
Well, so another question, because, again, the arena football game's a little bit different. You know, I would say, what do you think, and I'm trying to think how I want to word this, what do you think the biggest misconception is about arena football?
Well, people call it semi-pro. They call it Bush League and things of that nature because it didn't have the national luster that now we do have
yeah.
with the NFL Network.
Yeah.
When you play in a league that not many people have heard of nationally, they don't give it the credit that it's rightfully deserved. All the work and time and effort of not just the coaches and players, but the ownership group to have it. We're the second smallest team in the whole 16
Which
team
one
league.
Is smaller?
Dodge.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, so everybody else is big. Philadelphia's yep. big. Orlando's big. West Texas is big. Salem, Oregon is big.
Yeah.
Seattle, Washington. We're the second smallest, but we're right there as far as wins. We got coaching. We got all of this stuff. But none of that would be possible without our great ownership group. That the core of those guys have been there since the beginning, since I've been here. And then we added Dan Keyboards. We added Jimmy Sponder to, like, just take it to a whole nother level.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Medicina is a guy that, you know, kind of leads that whole thing up.
Yep.
Big Roy, we call him Big Smooth.
Yep.
Josh and Tom Perez. Without those guys, Salina would not have a pro team here.
Correct.
And to have a pro team that is nationally recognized, no matter what league we're in, people have heard about Salina through the football team.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I'm very proud of. And I know our ownership group, that's why they spend all the extra hours. They're not making much money, any money at all.
Yep.
But they're spending a lot of time away from their wives, their mm-hmm. kids, and they're putting their money where their mouth
right.
is to
Bring
try
something
to.
Cool to Salina.
Exactly.
And
all we asking for is just support from the people here. That's getting better each and every year. Our sponsorships this year, we're up $125,000 from what I heard last, and we still have another week or two to go before our first game.
Yep.
So that's an indicator that it's definitely trending in the right direction. More sponsors than we ever had. Now we just need that to transition into – people in the stands. Mm-hmm. Yes, we have great sponsors, and without them, we have nothing. Without that, you don't have a team. But we also need the people mm-hmm. to come out, the common person to just come out and check us out. And a perfect example of that is these owners aren't going to make any money on this game that's coming up this Saturday. Right. It's a preseason scrimmage that we're going to have against Southwest Kansas. It's $10 to get in. $10 for 2 to 2.5 hours to see some football, some ex-NFL players run around, and get a first picture of what this team is going to look like. What else is going on in Salina this Saturday that you can't do that for 2 hours?
Yep.
We hope to get you in here and push a little bit.
That's what we're working on.
And that's what we were talking about the first game. When you can tell them a little bit more about it, it's going to be on the NFL Network. That first game, the 28th.
But that doesn't mean stay home and watch it.
No, we need you to come on now.
No, but we want a big smiley face about Salina when people see us at the crowd on the 28th, and you'll play the Southwest team again first game and it's on a Sunday afternoon, I believe. And so that's one of the things that me and Kevin were hoping we could even push among our friends, anybody that's listening here, is that we would like that crowd that first night to
absolutely
be a great crowd.
Yeah, I mean,
and then if you get the feel of it, then maybe you'll come back. The only thing that disappoints me is we miss May for 3 more weeks. You do the first game, then we're 3 weeks away. You guys will be traveling, and that's you got a trip all the way to Oregon. Then you got a trip to Iowa. Then you got a trip to where Rapid Falls, or who is it? So,
Cedar Rapids. It's in Council Bluffs.
Yeah, the Quad Cities. Iowa.
Yeah. So
City of Seven Smells.
So you're 3 weeks.
No, I'm dead serious. I used to travel there for work.
But you're 3 weeks
and
of traveling.
They call it the City of Seven Smells. I think there's like a poster at Kellogg's factory there.
Oh.
And so, like, depending, you can, like, people that live there can get up in the morning, they're like, yep, they're making Cap'n Crunch.
Fruit Loops today.
They, like, they call it the City of Seven Smells.
Wow.
But anyway, you'll be 3 weeks away, and then you come back for your first Saturday game not till May the 25th.
Absolutely.
So we're the end of May. We have a game at the end of April, and then again, end of May. Then we'll have a couple of home games after that. But I hope people get excited on that first game. And potentially there could be more than one NFL broadcast game, potentially.
Well, we have three right now for sure, but this is the only one that's going to be at home.
Okay.
But they also do flex games.
Yeah.
Yep. So if we continue to do what we've done since we've been here, there's potential that some of those later games in June potentially could be a NFL game as well.
Obviously, that's a huge boon as far as being able to watch that, having people all over the country watch those games and understand that. But I feel like the NFL Network, you know, to your point, we were talking about misconceptions about the Arena Football League, kind of gives it a little more legitimacy, I guess.
Absolutely.
By having it on the NFL Network, and that, you know, this is real football, folks. Let's tune in and watch this.
And that's a multi-billion dollar organization right there.
Right.
So the thing that I'm looking at is I challenge the city of Salina and the surrounding cities that's within an hour. Do you want your city to be represented as a half full stadium that you don't support football? Because I know it's a bunch of Chiefs fans here.
Yeah, a bunch.
So why would you want it to be a half full stadium? That's the one game that you wouldn't say, hey, when they say Salina, here's your opportunity to be on national TV and show the world what you really are. So I'm challenging Salina to come on out, show out for us, and support this team that's been successful. Every year we've been here, we've been in the playoffs. 4 out of the 5 years, we made it to the championship game. It's a great product. It's a fast-paced football game. Great players, great owners, great coaches. And we got some players that got a lot of different things that you're going to love as we get going with this. And hopefully we can have some more guys on that you'll get to know. It's a very cool sport. It's a cross, what people ask me, it's a cross between football, basketball, and hockey all in one game. So if you've never seen it,
okay, let me ask you something. You do have a lot of Lowell fans here in town. People that have started all the way back whenever it was Dane Seminole was the quarterback.
Yeah, the Bombers
all the way back then to today. What is the one thing there are a couple of things that they'll see that's different than the league that you were in last year? What's your
– The net. So the net
– We were just talking about this afternoon.
Dynamic that it changes the game and the kicking game. It bounces off the net. It's a live ball.
Yep.
So that changes it. The other thing is
more exciting then?
Because you can even just think about it this way. We're down 5, 2 seconds left. You know what would you call? You've been to minus 30? Hail Mary, right?
Yeah.
Net here. You throw it off the net.
You can throw it off the net.
You can catch it off the net.
Yes.
So that brings super excitement. The other thing is we have the deuce. When we're kicking it off and it goes through the uprights, 2 points. If that ball kicked off, don't hit the ground and it goes out of bounds just in the air, mm-hmm. it's a point for the other team. So much. It's action on every play, and it's scoring plays on pretty much every play.
So
it's way different.
Lots
yes, a lot of scoring, a lot of people flying around just like before. But I think the quality of ball player that we brought in this year is different. I think it's more upper echelon. We got more NFL, XFL, USFL players than we ever had since I've been here. Agents that hadn't talked to me since I've been in the CIF, hadn't talked to me since I was in the IFL, now are blowing me up at least twice a week saying, I got this player. So the quality of player and seeing the different people, I think that is what's going to be cool. Yes, we still have our golden oldies. We still have, D-Wash. We still have, some of the guys that's played here before.
I'm telling you called him a golden oldie.
Oh yeah, he is a golden oldie though. That's my guy right there. I had him as a guy in 2016, and the only reason he came with me, D. Wash, he played in 2015. He lit me up for 5 touchdowns in 1 game. He wasn't even on my team. I got him to the Indianapolis Colts. If I'm lying, I'm dying. That happened. He had a tryout and workout with the Indianapolis Colts, and I was not even his coach. That's how deep and loyal he is. That's our relationship. Yeah. We talk mess each day and all this stuff, but he know I love him, and I definitely know he loved me. So
who are you talking about?
D-Wash. So that makes sense because while we were sitting here, we got a text from Katie saying D-Wash is coming up to videotape you
guys. There we go. There he is.
Oh, we're just flipping the script here a little bit.
Improv, a little improv.
Yeah, that's
right
all
here.
Right. That's all right.
Thank y'all for having me. Thank you for having me.
No doubt.
No, you don't talk near as loud as Philip does, though.
Okay, there we go.
There you go. So Indianapolis Colts, huh?
Yes, sir.
How was that?
That was a great experience. Yep. It let me know where I stand with a bunch of greats. That was luck last year. So I think I was with T.Y., Deron Carter, Frank Gore, Andre. So a bunch of them great vets who's been in the league for a long time chauffeured me and put me on game. Yes, sir.
Yeah. No, sounds fun. Yeah.
and for the Salina fans, who D-Wash is, a human highlight film. He dunks on everybody's head. You throw it up, he got 45-inch vertical, being 6'6", pretty much unstoppable. So he is back with us. I know a lot of people didn't really know that. It was kind of our little secret until he said it's time to let it be known. And now everybody, because they didn't see him out there last week, and he was at the game. Mm-hmm. We sat our guys and things of that nature, but you'll definitely see him this Saturday as well.
Yep. So do you ever have players? So I'm assuming you invite them.
Yes.
To the camp and reach out through agents or whatever. Do you ever have anybody that says, Salina? Oh, hell no.
Well, yeah, because most people have never heard of the city, let alone even the state.
Yeah.
So the thing that I always say to them is you're not there about the city, state, or anything. This is an opportunity to play for a Hall of Fame coach that's known for moving players up to the next level.
Yep.
And we're usually a contending team.
Mm-hmm.
This will be my 19th year, so we'll just say 18.
Makes you sound younger.
Yeah, so I've only been a head coach 15 of those years. I've been in 7 national championship games. So basically every other year, you're going to have a chance to play in a national title game. Mm-hmm. So that's what they come to Salina for.
Yep.
And actually to see the people of Salina. Yes, is it different for most of these guys or whatever, but it's an experience that you will take with you for the rest of your life, because if you can survive here and be a model citizen, you can survive anywhere. And not to say that it's tough or anything like that, but the people of Salina are like this here. If you are a guy that don't get in trouble, and you make Salina proud, they love you. Mm-hmm. If you're a clown, and I'm not going to say the other word, but then they don't like
yep.
you. And I like that. They're straightforward. And it's not like a city where it's like, oh, well, you know, if you do well, they're going to love you. And that's what I love about being here in Salina and understanding, you know, where I'm at and understanding the people of this city.
Yep. So you talked about living in a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Favorite restaurants in town?
Well, my favorite go-to lunch.
And you guys, we're going to be asking you guys, too, when you're on here. So
my
be
go-to
about
lunch
that.
Is Gourmet to Go.
Okay.
I love
nice shout out
their
to Blake.
Food. Their lunches are second to none to me. Just it's healthy. It's not really fried food or anything like that. The other thing I like for good steak and things like that is, what is the name of that place? Downtown, right off the, it's. What is
Martinelli's?
Martinelli's.
Barolo? Okay.
And their sponsor as well. Their steaks.
We brag on yep. Martinelli's most yep. every show. Yes. We love Martinelli's.
And I love yep. the chef salad there as well.
Yep. Oh, that chopped salad is. Chopped salad. Oh, yeah. Yes. That yeah. is. Oh,
delicious.
That, oh, yeah. I could drink that dressing out of a cup.
Definitely oh, yeah. true. So yeah. I like those two.
We like to talk about food on this podcast, just
oh,
a
yeah.
heads up.
Hey,
so.
That's right up my alley. I mean, I didn't get to be 2:30 by accident. I like to eat. But those are my two for sure that I really enjoy eating there. It's another one that I like too, that Russell's
okay.
for my breakfast.
Oh, yeah, yep. they got great breakfast.
The omelets and all of the different things that they have there. It's and the hospitality there, the ownership group there is good, and the waitresses are good, great service. No matter how many people there, they rotating people through there. It's never really a long wait. So those are my three go-tos that I say I like the most of all the different places in Salina.
Coach, if I could guess your favorite snack, you give me a high five?
Yes, because you'll never guess it.
Let me see if we got some coming for you on Monday.
Oh, my God. How did you
we
figure
do some
that
research
out?
On this podcast. Come
you must
on.
Have hit my wife.
Oh,
my
no.
wife or my brother or my mom.
Nah, somebody,
that's my favorite a, place that I get my gourmet.
Garrett Cheese Pot. Hey, Chicago. I tried to get it here for you tonight.
Oh, my God.
And it won't be here till Monday. So I'm going to have to
I would have never guessed you would have known that.
Damn,
that
we
is
should,
my
we should have bet some money on that.
Yeah, I would have lost. I would have almost bet my check. There's no way he know I love Garrett Cheese Popcorn. You know,
well,
I, mean,
I was telling him about
research right
about
there.
Mixing yeah. the cheese and the caramel together.
Oh, see,
they were the first ones that did
I
that.
I don't do the caramel.
You just oh, do the cheese popcorn.
Oh my God!
No, I. You know what? I went back and watched some of your YouTube videos over the years, and I heard you say one time you like collard greens. What else? Fried pork chops,
cornbread,
soul food.
Yes.
And then you said Garrett's popcorn.
Yes.
I said, well, I like that stuff too.
Yes, we that did. Is the best. And I mean, it's expensive. I mean, them big old things be $100 or whatever.
Yeah.
So every now and then. When
I didn't spend
wife,
$100 on you, man.
No, I'm just saying. Every now and then when my wife say I'm treating her good, I get something like that for
no,
you know,
I got you enough,
something.
Though. If you're up at 4, you can start snacking.
Oh, I so love that. That's
you
like
have to give me your phone number, and I'll tell you when it's there on Monday. It'll
oh,
be
well,
here on Monday.
I'm definitely going to leave my phone number there. I won't give it over there because I don't want
to. No, don't do that. Don't do that.
Yeah, the first loss, you'll get your ass ripped
yeah,
by somebody.
I don't need all that right now.
And now we are explicit. Thank
yeah.
you.
Oh, yeah. But we'll get worse as we go.
Yep. So, what's the craziest encounter you've had with a fan? And your
that
in
I
your
can
coaching?
Say over the air? Because it's gotten pretty bad in certain situations.
By the home fans or by the away fans?
No,
the
away
fans, yeah.
At their field. Here, my fans love me. I've never had any issues there. I would say in Dodge City, and I'll just keep it to this league because the other league is what it is.
Yep.
We had an encounter down there probably 2 years ago, Big Frank. Big Frank is the super fan in Dodge City. He wins the trophy every game. And that's for the best fan. And this guy, he rips into me. Then he got his nephew ripping into me. I mean, they're just talking mess. And I know it's all love because they really probably want me to still be there because I used to coach there.
Yep.
And Frank Garcia is his name. And I'm friends with him on Facebook. He's coaching in high school little guy football kindergarten through eighth. So in that range, seventh and eighth graders or whatever.
Okay.
So he's coaching down there now, and he's their super fan. But he gives it to me every single time, and I'm not really –
You can hear him during the game.
Oh, he's right in my ear because he gets right behind me on that side, and he – talking noise, and I'm turning around, I'm looking and laughing, he's laughing, because I know it's all in fun, because after the game, before the game, we hug each other, have a good time, share a beer and things of that nature. But that's the one right there to definitely get it going, and I laugh, even though he's trying to get me off my game, I'm laughing, because some of the things he says, and his nephew and cousins be saying, it's pretty funny, so definitely a good time every time I go to
the referees travel? How do you get your refs in this
league?
Well,
some of them, most of them from this little area come from Wichita.
Okay.
So the ones that do Wichita sometimes do our game as well as Dodge game.
Okay.
So you'll see these guys.
They have to learn the rules of your league.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So it's a difference from the rule book that we had the previous 5 years, where I think it was only 56 pages. This is 158 pages.
Oh, wow.
So we just had a rules meeting a couple of days ago, Tuesday, and just going over to make sure everybody understands what it is and how it goes. And it's way different than the CIF with the different little rules. That's what makes this game so intricate, that you have to be like a chess player, even more so now than in those other leagues. But it puts a lot of – with the rule set, it puts it a lot of one-on-one matchups than before. And before, you could play a lot of different things. And kind of camouflage if you couldn't go one-on-ones. This one forces you to go one-on-one. That's why the scores are through the roof.
Yeah, it makes sense.
When your first scrimmage last week, what was that score? What did it end up being? Which it really doesn't matter in a scrimmage, but
38,
I think it was
38-28. Yeah, that's what
like
I think.
But
yeah.
You expect more points than that.
Well, yeah, we sat,
but was it a,
we sat our top 11 players. They played their whole team, so I'll just leave it at that.
Okay.
To kind of figure that out.
Shots fired, you Wichita.
Know, I'm just saying. So, yes, it was a very close game, but our top 11 players didn't even suit up. D-Wash and all our guys were sitting on the sideline, cracking jokes and doing that type stuff. So I'll leave it at that. But I think y'all can read between the lines
right
there.
And you're a football guy, college football, everything. Who's your favorite football player ever?
In college or pro?
All time.
Doesn't matter.
Deion Sanders, by far. I wanted to be I wanted to go to Florida State. That's the reason I
you
wore number
two.
You
got any eligibility left? I think he's hiring. Hey, he's hiring in Colorado.
What do you say? We ain't hard to find.
Right.
So, I mean, he's always been my favorite player for what he did at Florida State as well as the NFL. But in high school, I wanted to go to Florida State. I did get a couple letters from Bobby Bowden. I never
did
got the scholarship offer.
You save them?
No, you want to hear a funny story. Is my parents moved from Chicago to Louisiana, and I had a bag full of them. I probably had like 400 letters.
Yeah.
Oh, they threw it all away. Threw all my trophies away and all
something.
That as well. So,
we were just talking about last week how many of our grandmas threw away our best Mickey Mantle card or anything.
Oh, my gosh.
But those letters are cool. My little brother got letters from everybody for baseball. And I think my mom saved them all.
They say the thing that's so crazy is this: because I don't know if it was my father or mother, threw all the letters away, but they got all the incriminating baby pictures of me naked. It's funny how that goes, huh?
So, what do you think your most memorable moment as a coach is?
I would say 2000. I would say two. The 2006 national championship game, it was 104, 105 degrees, maybe even hotter. They were frying eggs on the side of the road. It was standing room only at the Metro at the time. They call it some other thing now because the tornado came right in 2010 and destroyed it.
What city was this in?
Billings, Montana.
Okay.
We won the national championship. It was like 9,200 people in there, standing room only, just to remember looking around, and it was people standing everywhere. There was no empty seats, and just the excitement, because Billings was a lot like Salina. They were close. They were the bridesmaids many, many times.
Mm-hmm.
We finally, but that was my first year as a head coach. So I didn't know anything about that. We won that championship, and just the look on my owners, my main owner face is Mike Parnell, the CEO and founder of Oakley Sunglasses. He's a billionaire now. Just to see how proud he was of what he put together and what he instilled in me, because it was a tough year for me, going through a divorce, first time ever as a head coach. Just his mentorship of what he did for me that year and how he basically helped raise a man. Because, again, I was a young man at that point. I thought I was a man, but really wasn't a man. I made a lot of immature type things go down and not really understood that I'm a coach now, not a player. But for him to have the patience in me to not just – yeah, he told me the things that we did wrong, that I did wrong, and I learned from him. He taught me a lot of professionalism. So the gratification of actually winning that championship in Billings, to see his face, and I picked him up. I was so excited. He was so excited, and he was just like, I'm so proud of you. You just don't know. Like, he looks at different things, and I still talk to him to this day. I seen him, what was it, one of the last games Billings played up there. We were on a bye, so I went up there, and I did a telecast up there with them. And seen him again, and just he was like, you've come a long way, man. So just that year of being a young man and turning into a man and winning that championship and, you know, hosting that trophy up was probably the best.
Funnest.
The second one, though, was as a coach, Jimmy Sponder is one of our owners. He owns Aviation.
One Vision. Yep.
He's the big hanger out there. When I got inducted to the Hall of Fame, I was going to drive to Sioux Falls for the Hall of Fame and then drive to Sioux City, do the game, and then drive all the way back. He's like, absolutely not. I'm going to get you in one of my planes, and we're going to go up there, and we're going to have a ball. So if you know Jimmy Sponder,
he likes to have a ball.
We had a ball the night before, to the point where I was like, Jimmy, I can't get too turnt because we got a game the next day. Jimmy doesn't understand that.
Yeah.
So we had a great time. My wife being there, my sister-in-law being there, Jimmy, a couple other people. Coach Martinez was there.
This is you being inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Not just your first Hall of Fame, right?
No, this is my first and only.
Oh, it was. I thought you were in the Hall of Fame of another league.
No, yeah, the IFL. Yep. Not in the CIF.
Right.
Now, if they did one in the CIF, I would have to be in it because I've won Coach of the Year two out of the 5 years I've been in this league, and we double-digit wins every year. So I would think I would
You're
be
heading
in that
direction.
Well. Yes, I was trending correctly.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I would say those two, to actually go up there and do that speech in front of my wife and have Jimmy do what he did. I mean, that was the third time I ever flew in a private plane.
Right.
Just to do those type things like that, you'll never forget that.
And right.
To see the look on his face, to see the look on my wife's face and how I felt in my heart that he said, you know what, we're gonna get you there and we're going to have fun doing it. And we did. So those are the two instances that I would say that's the best memories I've had.
Great. You know, we've just got a few more minutes before we try
I'm
to
talking
about,
like that?
No, oh, okay. No, we love you. As a matter of fact, I'd love to get you back on here again. But let me ask you something. And, of course, listening to you, talking to you, knowing your background and everything else, have you ever had the dream or desire to coach any other league, any college, maybe get into something different, or do you just love the indoor football?
That's twofold to me. Yes, I am looking to see what sparks my interest in other fields because I know I can't coach forever. I turned 49 a couple months ago. Yes, I want to coach till I'm 67, to my retirement person told me 67 is when you got to, that's when you can, you have to work to that point. And I love coaching, but I'm a realist too. And understanding that I'm not just a football coach. I'm just like I wasn't just a football player. I just haven't found anything that sparks my interest to the point that, you know, I'm working and doing it. You know, I've helped, you know, help a lot of other people out and things of that nature. I want to try to use my sociology minor. I think that's what I've used the most in my life. And, you know, with this coaching thing, I use my sociology minor more than I use my cardiac rehab major. So yep. I really want to get into something like that, even if it's social work, helping kids out, things like that, to actually create a career, a different avenue there, getting experience in that. But I did have aspirations of going to the NFL, but it's not as simple as that. You basically would have to go to college and do the college route and then go to the NFL. And with me, with having a family at an early age, I can't go back and just get $6,000 a year to support my family to be a GA.
Right.
Not that I'm above that work, but I got to have money. My wife, when you meet her, if you see her, you understand what I'm saying. So, and my daughter ain't no better. She's the same, and she's competitive cheer that is expensive. We just, you know, moved into a new town home and all this stuff. So I got to have money. And I can't go back to college if I know for me to move up in that ranks, I have to have my master's degree.
And you have to start at the bottom.
So I can start at the bottom. I've started at the bottom my whole life. I was counted out at a very young age and things of that nature. I was told I was not going to be anything growing up and things of that nature. But what my parents instilled in me that I was going to be a somebody. I'm not just going to be some gangbanger on the street in Chicago and doing gangbanger things. So I knew I was going to be something, but I can't afford to feed my family on a GA salary.
Right.
And the amount of time that you got to put in to be a GA, I wouldn't be able to subsequent that income with another job. I would be working forever. So that's what kind of stunted that, especially with the birth of my daughter. She's 11. 11 years ago is when I kind of gave up on that dream of saying, I'm never going to make it to the NFL because I'm not going to be able to do the two-year GA thing to support my family. Right. And right now,
but somehow by playing in the indoor football league, you're able to fall in love with it and
go into the coach. Because it's football. Yeah. Football is football. Yeah. But the thing that I fell in love with is when I moved that first player up.
Yeah.
The other thing I fell in love with is winning that first championship. So that's what it's like. It's like nicotine to a cigarette person.
Yeah.
You know, like I just fell in love with that. And then just to see and hear a guy that was overlooked coming out of college to move up to the NFL, to move up. I mean, I remember, rest his soul, Mario Henderson. He played for the Oakland Raiders. He started probably 30 games. He was a third-round pick for Florida State. It was the year the NFL went on a strike. He got up to 400 pounds, so the Raiders cut him. And we had a player by the name of Bradwell that played at Florida State as well. We had him sign. He was like, hey, I got this guy, but he's 400 pounds, but he's good. And Coach Martinez got a hold of him, and we got him down to 350. And within four games, that man signed a contract with the San Diego Chargers as an offensive tackle and played another 2-3 years. He most recently died 2-3 years ago of a heart attack. But that's what I'm in it for, to be honest with you. And that's what I get a high off of, is seeing guys succeed and for them to believe in my system, my scheme, my program, you know, led by, you know, our ownership group. But to be with them on the everyday to make them better men is what I'm really truly in for. And no matter if I'm in the NFL, CFL, XFL, this is my NFL because it is what pays my –
It's what
my,
you love. Yeah.
Yeah, it pays my bills and it's exactly what I love to do.
Yep. All right, one more question. We got a couple minutes left. And I think, Philip, you might have ruined the answer to the question a little bit on this one. But you got 24 hours to live. What's your last meal?
Well, I know the dessert will be my mom's red velvet cake. That's the only sweets that I eat.
Hey, Lisa, he loves red velvet cake.
Yes, my mom makes the best.
That's my favorite, too.
Oh, yeah, I love that with the, you know, the walnuts or what, pecans or whatever that's on the top with the white icing and everything. So that would be my dessert because I don't even really eat sweets like that. I would say my mom's gumbo.
Gumbo.
Yes. I mean, she's from Louisiana, so
she knows how to make it.
She knows how to make it.
My mama know how to get down. She don't play no games. So I would say that would be my meal, and I know that would not go together good. I mean, my stomach would probably be tore
up. You'd be
up.
All right.
No, you only had 24 hours to live anyway.
So, like, what's the hell? I'm going to die before they'll come back out, so I'll be all right.
All right. Awesome. So we're at the end here. So what we normally do at the end of the podcast is just you got the floor, man. You got a couple minutes here. What do you want people to know? What do you want to say? You got anything's fair game here.
Well, I'm just going to say this right here. This is my sixth year in Salina, a lovely city, a city that is kind of like Philadelphia to me. If you're doing what you need to do, they're going to praise you. If you're not, they not. And if you're not winning, they ain't going to support. And I know ain't is not correct English, but I'm saying it for
sounds good to me.
Phillip's on this podcast. Yeah. That's fine.
But we have been winning for 5 years.
Yep.
Right.
And all I'm waiting for now is the city to truly get behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the sponsorships have been great. But what we need is more butts in seats to keep this team here.
Yep.
If you want this team to stay here, the only way that it stays here is if you come out and actually support it.
Yep.
And if you can't support far as ticket sales, at least sponsor the team. If you own something that could be conducive with what we're trying to do with the Salina Liberty, give us a call. Give Big Sam a call. Sam Sellers, the general manager. Let's do a deal. I want to be here, like I told the ownership group. We had an owners meeting the other day. I don't ever want to have to coach for another team. And I'm saying that as a 49-year-old man, I want to retire at 67, like I said.
Right.
If I can do that, then I lived a blessed life.
You know
because that means I love what I do and I love this city. And I want the city to show even more love than what they've shown already because they've shown a lot of love. And it's getting more and more.
Mm-hmm.
And things like this right here, getting our word out
of
what we are, who we are, and what we stand for is just the beginning. So you can see the difference this year. I've done more podcasts and interviews this year than I've did my 6 years of being already, and we ain't even played a game yet. So that lets you know.
Do you think it comes from just the energy of the new league?
That's all it is.
I think it's huge.
But with that being said, they starting to understand the history of what we've done here, which is historic of being in four national championships in a row. There are no other teams in indoor football that can say they've been to four in a row besides maybe one or two in other leagues.
Even John Bon Jovi's team can't say that.
Absolutely.
Hey, Coach, I'll tell you this, and I think I speak for both of us, that you know, we've got a lot of friends. Sam's a good friend of mine, and Katie's a good friend of ours, and we're pretty excited about this season.
Yes.
I think you're spot on. I think there's more buzz right now in this town than there's been in years past. But we're doing what we can to help you guys out. If you guys ever need anything, call us. We're happy to help out wherever we can, and I appreciate you coming on the podcast. It's been fun.
All right, thanks
again for
having us. An
hour flies right by.
You know what's the sad thing that I always go back in life and I'll go, man, I could have had 12 more friends. Why come we didn't meet in 18? You know what I mean? I mean, I wish we would have been around because here we know now. I'll know you when I see you around town. Haven't for 6 years, so.
I'm a very low key guy.
I'm very
like
happy.
Say a hotel room. I stay in my hotel room.
If you want a home cooked meal, though, you'd like to know a few people around town.
That is definitely true.
You over, so.
I'm all about that.
So it's just a pleasure to meet you.
Yep. Thank you, and the pleasure is all mine for you guys having me. Thank you so much.
Thanks for joining us. And so we're honestly, and we didn't mention this before. We're sitting on the patio out at Great Life. You guys to us. No, this is a spot we record at a lot, but we're actually going to end this one here. This is going to be the end of this podcast, and we're going to turn around and interview some players and put that one up in about a week or so. So, I normally would say we'll be back in a couple weeks, but we're literally going to be back
in
about 5 minutes. Yep.
There we go.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to the Kevin and Phillip Project Podcast. If you would like more information about our podcast, guests, and to join in on the discussion, please visit our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/Kevin Phillip Project. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe to our podcast and tell your friends about us.